Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Opportunity knocks. But today I added something to it. When opportunity knocks, and then recognizing your now. Recognizing your now. We all have a now situation that comes to us, and that's the form of that opportunity. So let's pray together, and I'll get into the lesson today. Lord, we love you and thank you for your word, for confirming your word. We're thankful for what the Holy Ghost says. And God, today, just help us to hear, to understand, to just grasp what the Spirit is saying and let it change us, make us better, prepare us, Lord. We just want to be more like you. We want to be good for the kingdom. Lord, we want to be ready when you come. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good one more time to the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. You can be seated. God bless you today. So when opportunity knocks, I'm not trying to re-preach Brother Landon's message. I'm not preaching anything because I think that message lacked anything. This is a supplement, just something, a second chapter, another a further examination maybe, but it's not really all in the same place as what he was preaching. But I was thinking about that today, and there was a couple of things that just kind of looked up and things that popped into my mind. In the 1980s, you know, opportunity is something don't you hate when you miss an opportunity? When you're like, I should have went ahead and got that. You know, you've been somewhere, you saw it on sale, I'll come back next week. And your favorite beautiful fall wreath is not there anymore because you didn't get it when your husband said, go ahead and get it. And then when we went back, it was gone. But you hate when you miss opportunities. You know, it's you don't want to do that. You find out that maybe I was going to go here today, but I didn't. And then you stayed home and oh, man, so-and-so was there. I hadn't seen them forever. I missed the opportunity to see them. You know, it's just... You don't want to miss opportunities. In the 1980s, movie director Steven Spielberg, he approached the Mars Company, which makes M&Ms. And he wanted to use a chocolate candy in his upcoming movie, and he wanted Mars to be part of that and use the M&Ms for his picture. But Mars said, no, thank you. We don't want to do that. But Hershey's said, we'll do it. And so Hershey's took their Reese's Pieces and they got the role. They spent $1 million on a deal they made for promotion if they could use E.T. in their promotion. 2 weeks after the release in 1982, the sales for Hershey's and Reese's Pieces went up 65%. And anybody from the 80s does not see a bag of Reese's Pieces without thinking about E.T. I never open a bag of those when I'm not going phone home. Always. In the year 2000, some of us will remember this, just almost 25 years ago. Some of y'all might not have been born yet. Blockbuster Video ruled home entertainment. Now, at that time, Netflix was a struggling mail order company that needed cash to continue. They approached Blockbuster, offered to sell Netflix to Blockbuster for $50 million. And it's said that they were actually laughed out of the building. Well, then Netflix, instead of giving up, they got into streaming. People stopped renting DVDs. Blockbuster was slow about getting into streaming. Today, Netflix is valued at more than $260 billion, and there's only one, I believe, operating Blockbuster in Nevada, I think. It's in Las Vegas. Blockbuster is all but dead. Opportunity knocks, and we see that there can be a heavy price to pay sometimes if you don't open the door, if you don't take advantage of the now. And as awful as it must be, somebody surely lost their job, over these things probably, or demoted, or lived in shame because to look at their Blockbuster holdings and then their and see what Netflix is doing, you know, I'm sure they were like, I could be a billionaire, but I didn't take the deal. The man who said security escort them out, I wonder where he's buried, because or what lake they threw him in, because somebody missed a great opportunity for business. And it's awful for them. For us, I don't really care. I'm never going to see any of their money. But what's worse is that we miss an opportunity with the Lord. And I will just say that it is a heavy price to pay if we don't take advantage of when opportunity knocks for us, when the Lord is trying to get our attention so that he can speak with us and let us hear what he's trying to offer. The prophet would write, the Lord would speak and say, come now, let us reason together. I'm offering you an opportunity, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white and snow and like crimson, but they can be pure and white like wool. And I'm offering you an opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. And the business world and in the world, there's an old saying that opportunity only knocks once. Thank goodness that's not true in the scripture, you know, in our life, because God has knocked at our door. But it's not just the knock, it's the voice, it's the offer that comes, what we have heard from the Lord. It's, you know, I was thinking about that. You've got to be careful about the opportunities that come your way. Because I'm going to jump scripture here, Matthew. I'm going to jump down to go ahead to Revelation 3 and 20. Just because I want to look at what it says there for a second. The Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's what he's doing. But he's not just knocking, he's talking. If any man hear my voice and open the door. If you'll hear and open the door, he said, then I will come in. Well, anytime the Lord is in, you in business. Something's good. Once he comes in, he said, and I will sup with him and he with me. He made sure to let you know, I'm not just coming to sit in your house and you just pour out to me. He said, but you're going to be supping with me. We're going to be exchanging some things. We're going to be doing some things. There's some opportunities coming your way, and you're going to hear this voice. You're going to not just hear the knock, you're going to hear the voice. Well, too many times people are quick to just open the door at this. I think Landon mentioned that last week, said how it was customary that if you heard a knock that you would inquire as to who is at your door. And we do that. We teach our kids, don't just open the door when somebody knocks. It might be, I've done that to my kid. Like, we were somewhere at a conference somewhere, and my daughter was staying in another room, and I was bringing her something. She knew I was coming to the door, so I knocked on the door, and she just opened the door. I said, are you crazy? I said, I could have been anybody. I said, don't you just open that door like that, you know? But there's two things we need for this opportunity to be the right opportunity. It's hear the knock, respond to the voice. You got to be careful because the world, it can imitate the knock, but it cannot duplicate the voice. So it's very important what we also hear instead of just swinging the door wide open and letting anything in, because it's got plans if it gets inside. And so we've got to be careful about what we let in and make sure that it's the voice of the Lord, that it's the Lord saying, let's reason together. And it's, when opportunity knocks, you got to recognize that this is my now. Now, what's that mean? We're going to get to that in just a minute. So there's a knock, there's hearing, there's a voice, there's opening, him coming in, us being together. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. When you open that door, it is an act of faith, because the voice of God has spoken into your heart, into your life. You hear an offer and you realize, this is my now. This is my opportunity. This is my Reese's Pieces moment. This is my Netflix moment. This is my now. This is where I'm going to, this is where I'm going to make the deal of a lifetime. This is where I'm going to come to God and reason with him, and I'm going to get things fixed in my life. He's going to come into me. I'm going to be with him. Things are going to be better because he will now be in and not out. He won't be around the outskirts trying to get in. That's been done. I've opened up by faith. I've let him in, and this is what I've been waiting for. This is what we've got to recognize. When opportunity knocks, we've got to recognize our now. In Joshua chapter 2, I was thinking of some people in Scripture, and this came to mind. Let's read a little bit of this story of this person. Joshua 2, in verse 1, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, he sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went, and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there." They didn't just walk in. They had to knock on the door, identify who they were, and she let them in. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither in the night of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho," now the king, "he sent to Rahab. He said, 'You bring forth these men that have come to you and that came into your house, for they are come to search out the country.'" And now she realizes, this is my now. This is my opportunity. I can either just get some favor with the king, or I can do something to save my life. She took the two men and hid them. And she said to the king, "There came men unto me, but I don't know whence they were. It came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, the men went out. And whither the men went, I what not. Get going, pursue after them quickly. You'll overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Rahab realized this was her opportunity. Why? Because she heard the knock, and she heard a voice that she had never heard before, speaking to her, "Let us come in. Let us lodge here. Let us be there." What in her mind was going on that she would lie to her king, that she would do this thing and risk her life and save these spies? Because if you were to skip over, and you don't have to pull this up, I'll read what was in her mind. When she was talking to the men, she said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We heard that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. We heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, that you utterly destroyed them. And as soon as we heard this, our hearts did melt." And she said, "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath." And right there, she began to make a deal for her life and for her family. And she recognized that this is where I turn the page. I know that destruction is coming. I know that there's something that's out of my control. And she was not a holy woman. She was not a prophetess. She was not a Hebrew. She was not one of God's children, but she had heard about the true and living God. And when opportunity knocked, she said, "This is my now moment." She began to have faith. And let me tell you, she didn't have to be of the bloodline of Abraham to have faith. She didn't have to be, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost right then to have faith. She knew, "I've heard about God. I've heard what's going on, and I heard who you are. And right now, I'm going to have a little faith and let you in. Because I believe if I open up and let you in, it will change my life forever." She recognized this is now the time. I can't say, come back later. I don't know what I'm going to do. She could have done anything, but she decided this is where my life changes. And really, it was where her life would begin, because that woman would save her and her household alive by her act of faith. The book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11 and 31 says, "It was by faith that the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." People were going to die in Jericho, but she recognized, "I can save my life. And anybody that I can get into my house that'll be here, where that scarlet thread is hanging out of the window, anybody that will be inside of here can be saved." They said, "Everybody that's in here, as long as they're inside when we get there, they'll be fine. But if they go out, their blood's on their own head." She said, "This is my opportunity." There's opportunities every day. The Lord is speaking, leading, guiding, pleading with us, asking us, "Do this. This is what I've got for you." But we can't keep putting him off. It's not enough to hear his voice through the door and think that's all I need, is to just hear him through the door. I've got to open the door and recognize this is my now. This is where things will change. This is where my life is going to get better. This is how I'm going to see a difference in my walk with God. When opportunity knocks, Hebrews, the faith chapter, records her. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." So there was a heavy price for missing that opportunity when she received the spies with peace. And I tell you that every person in that city had the same opportunity as Rahab did. You know, the king could have went out and said, "Hey, we don't want to fight. We don't want to die. We don't want to lose our people. So we're your servants." They could have done anything. They could have all went out for mercy. But they just tried to, they just tried to lock the city up. The Bible says the city was shut up and locked up tight. They just tried to keep the door closed. And it cost them. But Rahab said, "Mm-mm, come on in. Because I recognize this is my moment. This is how I'm going to save my mom and my dad and my family. And this is how we're going to get out of this." And not only that, she found her way woven into the bloodline of Jesus himself. The one who stands and knocks at the door. The opportunity, the one who brings the opportunity. She finds herself in his bloodline. Oh, and let me tell you, that billion, $26 billion or $260 billion pales in comparison to Rahab's lineage. She may have never had two nickels to rub together, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was on the way because of her, because of that opportunity. And we don't recognize sometimes the great cost of not taking advantage. And we don't recognize the blessing that's coming when we do take advantage. Even James, in his chapter about faith, he said this in James 2 and 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Do you see how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled. It said, Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only." Well, that's Abraham, friend of God. God called him. You know, when you read Genesis chapter 12, I see God approach Abraham and say, get out. Get out. Get out of the land. Get away from these people. Go to where I tell you. I'm going to make a great nation of you. I'm going to bless you, bless them, bless you, curse them, curse you. You're going to be blessed. And it says, and so Abraham left. What did he do? He left. And so Abraham answered the knock. He heard the voice. Get up, get out. You mean leave? Yes, leave this land that you grew up in. Leave these people you grew up with. Get up, go, because I've got a better deal for you. You've got to recognize when opportunity is knocking and you can't wait around and play with it. You've got to take advantage of what God is trying to do in your life, because he only wants to lead you into something better. But then he goes in the same, likewise, or just like Abraham. He's fixing to compare Rahab to Abraham. He's going to put her in the same book, in the same passage, in the same teaching. He's going to take Rahab, the harlot, and put her with the friend of God. Because it doesn't matter what is written about you, God knows who you are. Doesn't matter what anybody else says about you, or how they go, oh, Abraham's our father. Father Abraham. Praise God for Abraham, for listening and going. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and doing what God told him to do. But thank God for this precious woman, Rahab, because she was also justified by her works when she received the messengers and then sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And we know what he's talking about there, but think about her situation, and it rings a little truer. If she had not had faith in works, she would have been dead. Faith in works literally kept her alive. It saved her and her family. When opportunity knocked, she opened. She said, this is my moment. This is my time. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have works. I'm not just going to hear people beating on my door, but I'm going to open the door. Oh, that we would not just sit and be entertained by the voice of the Lord outside. If you'll just open up, if you'll just open up, if you'll let me in, can you hear me? He knows you can. You know, in this scripture, go put Revelation 3 and 20 back up. It says, I'm knocking at the door, and if any man will hear my voice, well, it's not that you can't hear him. It's not like you're in the back of the house. Oh, I didn't know you was there, Lord. He knows. That's why he does it. He just says, this is a given. If you will hear my voice, I'm knocking. And if you'll hear me, that's more than just hearing the sound, but faith comes by hearing. What he's saying is, like, if you will respond, if you will move, if you will do, if you will let me in, if you'll open the doors, you've heard me, so you already know I'm out there. You have faith, but it's either alive faith or dead faith. The work is when you open the door and say, I'm going to let you in, and we're going to see what's happening. That's your now moment. He's knocking at the door. He's calling to you. He's telling you what he's got planned for you. But will you simply sit on the couch and hear? Comfortable? Listen to all the plans, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. He's telling you exactly what Jeremiah wrote. Jeremiah was very general about it, but God's going into detail. Here's the things I think about you. Here's the plans I have for you. Here's what I know about you. And he's doing it with a door closed in his face. And he's just waiting for you to make it a reality. If you'll just open the door. If you'll just open the door. You hear the knock. You hear the voice. It's not the voice of a stranger. Maybe it's a voice you haven't heard before. Maybe it's telling you something you've never heard before. Rahab, had never, to my knowledge, had never even talked to a Hebrew. I don't even know that she had ever seen one with her own eyes. But when she heard them at the door, this is something I've never opened up to before, but it's going to save my life. And it's time for us to stop being afraid of what the Spirit of God is trying to do in our life as it knocks on the door. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith. You know, the context which is written, I'm taking a little liberty right here because he's saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But one day, years ago, just studying and on a message for faith and stuff, the course of Scripture is going to always come to mind. And it was just like the Holy Ghost nudged me and said, what kind of faith? What kind of faith? Now faith. Faith for today. Faith for the moment. Faith for whatever I'm going through now. Israel was on the way. Rahab had to act. They're going to leave in just a few moments. I'm either going to turn them over, and the king's going to kill them, and then all of us are going to die anyway, or either I'm going to act right now and save myself and save my family. I'm going to do something right now. This is my now, because I have heard the voice outside the door. But instead of locking the bolt, I opened it up and said, come on in, because we need to make a deal. God's wanting to reason with us. I've got a better solution for your life. Hebrews 3:7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, cannot lie, won't lie, leads us into all truth. He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice, when? Today, right now, today. This is your now moment. You need to recognize what the Holy Ghost is saying to you today. Will you open the door? Are you going to keep him shouting through the door? Or are you going to open up and let him inside and recognize, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I needed. I've got to have this. This is all I need. Come on inside today if you will hear his voice. That's my now. I heard him. Oh, I won't be able to deny, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And everything that the Holy Ghost says, that's the Word of God. And it births faith in me. And whether I react to it or not, faith is there. See, we like to say, I have no faith. But it's really not no faith. It's either dead faith or live faith. Because we hear it. And faith comes by hearing. But then we've got to have works. We've got to act. We've got to open the door. Opportunity is knocking. You've got to recognize your now. The thing is, you might say, that's a pretty good deal, Lord. I think I'll, you know what, next week, next Sunday, I'll open up and we'll get with that. But as we've seen, we can miss opportunities. I don't want to miss an opportunity. 2 Corinthians 6:2, this principle here we should really grab hold of. Well, the Lord says, I've heard you in a time accepted, in the day of salvation, I secured you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today, or now, is the day of salvation. Now, the Lord's saying, I've heard you. I've heard what you ask. I've heard your request. I've heard your cries. I've heard your prayers. I've heard your tears. And now is the time. Now is the day. It's right now, not next week, not tomorrow, not at revival, not at camp meeting, not at youth congress. It's not a camp. It's now. It's at now while you're in prayer. It's now by your bedside. It's now in your car. It's now on your job. Wherever it's at, now. This is your now. Bartimaeus, a man who was blinded, I guess maybe all his life, I don't know. But Bartimaeus, a beggar sitting in the dust, he hears a commotion. He hears voices. What is this? Jesus of Nazareth is coming down the road. And immediately, he recognizes, this is my opportunity. This is my now. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David. And it says, and Jesus stopped. And of course, they're trying to shut him up. You've heard me preach this before. This, hey, hush, hush, Bartimaeus, calm down, son. You know, why are they telling him to hush? Everybody else is the one making the racket coming down the street. But he's crying out. It makes other people uncomfortable when you get ready to take advantage of your opportunity. Don't let somebody else cause you to miss your now because they're uncomfortable with you saying, hey, I want to go farther. I want to see. I don't want to. Maybe it was a bunch of other sick people and beggars that were sitting beside him. Maybe it was on like Skid Row, Beggar's Row. They were just sitting there, and all of them, and all the beggars are like, hey, man, you're messing up business. People, you know, you're scaring people off, showing out and acting up. But he said, look, I'm blind. And I heard this man opens the eyes of the blind. This is my now. Opportunity's knocking, and he's not going to get out. I can't see him. I've never heard him. But then he said, bring him here. What do you want me to do? I always thought that was funny. Will you, Lord, he's blind. Yeah, but he might just want a dollar. Maybe he wants a sandwich. So what do you want? That I might receive my sight. See, he come in to sup with him. He come in to take care of him. He come in to say, here, let's talk about this. Let's reason together. What is it that you need that's going to change your life right now? I need my sight. Boom. And his faith made him whole. Bartimaeus said, I'm not letting this opportunity pass me by. The woman with the issue of blood, I have spent everything. I'm only getting worse. Jesus is coming in this crowd. She began to crawl and press through the crowd to get, so if I may but touch the hem of his garment, this is my only month. I might, if I keep going like this, I'm going to die. I'm weak, I'm withered, and I may never get to see him again. I may never have this opportunity again. So she pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And the Lord said, your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. You recognize this is your now. This is your opportunity. Instead of saying, well, he's making a circle. He'll probably come back, you know, in a week or so. But what if you're not here in a week or so? What if in a week or so it gets too hard, it gets too heavy, and you give up and you don't look for the Lord anymore and you shut out the sound of his voice? What if that happens? I don't want to miss him. Zacchaeus, little man, said he was a short dude. But he heard that Jesus was coming. Can't jump high enough to see him. But look at that tree. And Zacchaeus climbed that tree and got up in the tree. And everybody else is looking at him like, what is this guy doing in this tree? I got to see Jesus. This is my opportunity. And there's a tree. And just think, the Lord planted that tree right where Zacchaeus and the Lord would be. Well, that's a message now. There had to be a tree there so he could get up on it. So God said, let's put a tree right there because when I'm walking in flesh, I'm going to come down that road and this little short dude needs to climb up in it. And you know what he did? He stopped and he said, come on down from there, Zacchaeus, because I'm coming to your house and I'm coming inside. He said, today salvation has come to your house. Oh, if we would recognize opportunity. When it's knocking, this is my now. This is what I got to have. The woman that was a sinner, she heard Jesus was in his house, and she didn't care what nobody else said. It said everybody in the city knew she was a sinner. I don't care. And she came in behind him weeping and crying and washing his feet with her tears and wiping his feet with the hair of her head and just needing something else. And the Lord had mercy on her and forgave her of her sins because she recognized her opportunity. She recognized her now. The Lord, one of the first things he ever spoke to Peter, he sees him out in the boat. They've been fishing all night. Caught nothing. Launch back out here and cast your net off on the right side of the boat. Been fishing all night. But nevertheless, he said, at your word, at your voice. And he threw the net over the right side, and it was the miraculous draught of fishes. So they had to call others, help me get these. And the boat's beginning to sink. The net's beginning to break. And he recognized, I'm a sinful man. Oh, because I didn't believe. But I'm so glad that just sometimes it's so hard to believe what God's asking of you, but if you'll just do it. Because he's not tricking you. He's not trying to mislead you. He's going to do things that I never thought could happen if we'll recognize our now. In Mark chapter 7, there was a woman. She had a child that was possessed of a devil, a Syrophoenician woman. And she came in to the Lord and said, Lord, heal my daughter, please. Get this devil off of her. Heal her. And he said, let the children eat first. It's not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs. Well, that would be enough right there. You think if you came up to somebody you trusted and that you knew could do something for you, you told them, said, hey, could you, yeah, I got to take care of everybody else first. You know, I don't just give my stuff to needy, poor, silly people. You would never talk to them again. Be upset. But the Lord said, I can't give the children's bread to dogs. She said, that's true, Lord. But the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And he said, for this saying, it's done. When she got home, her daughter was free of the devil, lying on her bed. Because she recognized, I'm not going to be run off because I didn't hear exactly what I wanted to hear. I'm not going to run off because I got an insult. I got wounded because all he did was speak the truth. Salvation was to the Jew first. It didn't mean he didn't love her. He just had to say, it's got to go in this order. So he could have said it a nicer way. But sometimes the things will be very plain and true to us to see where is our faith. And her faith, she had enough faith in him that she realized that, yeah, but if I can just get a crumb, it'll be all right. And friend, let me tell you, God's going to give you more than crumbs. God's going to give you the miracle. When opportunity is knocking, you just got to recognize. You've got to recognize this is your now faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. Hearing comes from his voice. It comes from the voice of God. Today, as the Holy Ghost, I don't know why I get tongue-tied, Holy Ghost says, or saith, it's that word saith that keeps getting me tongue-tied. So he said, today, just like the Spirit said, how many times did Jesus say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying? Because he's telling you the truth. He's trying to lead you into all truth. You can come to the music, darling. We've got to recognize our now. There are things that we will never realize if we miss this opportunity. There was a young man so proud of his accomplishments, so proud of his wealth and things that he had acquired in life, yet he still desired eternal life. So he said, good master, talking to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He began to recite the commandments. I've done all these things from my youth. What more do I lack? Sell everything you've got, distribute it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me and all the riches that you'll have. But it said he was very sad at that saying, and he went away, walked away. Missed his now moment. You know, maybe he could have been one that was following them from that point on, and maybe he would have stepped into the place of Judas. We'll never know, I guess, really, until we get to glory, whatever happened to that young man. Hopefully, by the time Pentecost rolled around, he realized, I need the Lord. Maybe in revival meetings with Paul and different ones, maybe he heard it again and he realized it. I hope he did. But in Luke chapter 19, and you can stand with me, in verse 41, it says, and when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Things that caused Jesus to cry. And here it is. If you had known, even thou at least in this thy day, this is your day. And if you had recognized, it broke his heart that they didn't recognize this was their day. All the things that belong to your peace, and now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you, compass you around, and keep you in on every side. Will lay you even with the ground, your children within them. They shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. You didn't recognize your now. You know, in the scripture it says he went to his hometown, could not do many mighty miracles, because they missed that opportunity. They didn't take that opportunity. They didn't recognize this is our chance. This is our now. This is where our life can be different. In the world, opportunity may only knock once, but today, as the Holy Ghost says, will we hear his voice? Will we hear his voice? Don't just give in to the knock, but will you hear his voice? Psalm 29 says, his voice is powerful and full of majesty. Will you hear the King today? Opportunity knocks. Will you recognize your now? We're getting ready to go into this next service, and the Holy Ghost is going to be moving. We're going to worship God. We're going to sing to him. We're going to be praying. And we're going to be in his presence. And each and every individual, there will be a knock at your door. We think it's just that initial time. But you know, if I come to your house, I'll knock. Hey, it's me. Come in. But if I come back, I'm not going to say, well, I can just walk on in now. Get shot like that. You always knock. And God will come and knock again. Hey. Because I've got something for you today. Yeah, I had something. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means I'll come tomorrow with something else. I'll come the next day, and a year later, I'll be knocking. Hey, I got something for you. Will you recognize that now? Let's lift our hands and pray together. Lord, we love you. Love you so much, God. We thank you for this day. Today, let us hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. Lord, I believe you're speaking to your people. I believe you're calling to your people. I believe you have gifts and wonders and signs and miracles, benefits and blessings and mercy, compassion, peace for your people today. Father, let us hear. Let us open up. Receive these things you've got for us today. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah. Let it be, God. I say yes. Sing that one time, darling. Sing that one time. Just keep your hands up. Worship the Lord for a moment. We're just getting ourselves ready for the next service. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
I agree to
thank you,
it,
Jesus.
To
yes,
it.
Yes.
I hear you call my name and I say yes. Oh, yes. I agree.
Lord. You know, I made the comparison between Abraham and Rahab, but it's because what the Lord said in Revelation, he said, if any, you may not feel like Abraham. Maybe you feel like Rahab. Maybe you feel like Judas. Maybe you feel like Peter. I don't know. But he said, if any, you know how good God's mercy is, that when Jezebel's wicked king husband, when God told him the judgment that was coming on him, he humbled himself and began to cry and pray and seek the Lord. And the Lord said, you see how this man has humbled himself? He said, things are going to happen, but it won't happen in his lifetime. He had mercy on this king that was an enemy to the prophets. But God recognizes that if any man will hear my voice and open, I can come in. And when he comes in, there ain't nothing he can't do. So let's let him into that. I don't care where you're at, what you're going through, what you're feeling. He said, if any man will hear my voice and open.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.